morning. Thank you, Miss Colleen. Good morning, everyone. Happy February. You've heard of Punxsutawney Phil, and Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, right? So that means what? However, statistically, Punxsutawney Phil has only been right 39% of the time. Therefore, we can assume that he's wrong. So, spring, summer will come soon, amen? I have to tell you, James Dixon was telling me, he and his wife, they have a huge house, and they decided to rent out rooms, okay? They thought, you know, we have the space, and they're good hosts and hostess, so they would provide space for these extras. And so they put a sign out. The first day, three gals showed up, three elderly gals. There was Aunt B and Aunt Meg and Aunt Peg. Who was the aunt from Twister? What was her name? Aunt, remember they, do you remember them? Never mind. So anyway, three of them, same day, they rented rooms, and that sounded good. Next day, some other gals heard about it. Two more rented rooms. By the end of the week, they had 10 aunts. Tenants. This is his joke. Blame it. Actually, you said it's Alice's joke that she sent? Did you say it was Alice that sent the joke in? All right, so we'll be sure and tell Alice. Thank you. Glad you have 10 aunts. There's a song about that too, but we won't go down that road. By way of announcements, on the back of the bulletin, just some of the usual sorts of things. Paya, do you have anything to add to the announcements? No, she says. That says that we might be organized and ready. Giving statements are in the boxes out there. So take a minute and check your mailbox. Some of you have not picked up all your Christmas cards, and you might want to look at that too. But giving statements for end of the year for taxes, they're in the boxes. Pick those up if you will. It'll save us mailing them. Sandy Tenney, please stand if you will, dear, and you have an announcement.
The Women's Society will meet Saturday at 10 o'clock in the parlor. I'm asking every woman to write on a piece of paper a prayer. Our meeting is for prayer and self-denial. I want the women to bring me a prayer.
Okay, and you might want to know that they've tried three, this is the third try. The first two Sundays were the Sundays that it was so bitterly cold. It may be bitterly cold again Sunday. I'm just saying by way of, you know, habit. Sandy, make sure that doesn't happen. And other announcements, thanks for the good of the order. This is the first Sunday of the month. Our tradition is to serve communion. Communion in the United Methodist Church is open communion. Everyone is welcome to come forward and participate and to receive the elements to gather at the table of Christ. Anything else for the good of the order as we're preparing to be in worship of our Lord? Can you set everything else aside for this morning? Can you forget about all the other things that are driving you nuts? Let's take this morning, clear our minds, focus on God, and begin our week in worship. Amen? Stand, if you will, wave hello to one another. Let's turn to our call to worship.
I know. Can you join me in the call to worship? Blessed are those who seek God, whose hearts are set on obedience. May God's Spirit permeate our every moment, our every day, our every thought. In all we do, we have the freedom to choose. Lord God, give us clarity to choose wildly and strength to choose even tougher choices. As we gather in worship, we are already making choices. As for me and mine, we choose, we'll worship the Lord. Now if you'll join me in hymn 338 in your hymnal, Where He Leads Me, or the They'll be on the screen. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him. If you can be seated now, we'll have the scripture. It is 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. It's found in your pew book in the New Testament at page 164. Without love, a noisy gong. And if I speak in the tongue of humans and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist upon its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. And as for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now faith, hope, and love remain. These three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now if the ensemble will come up.
So as the ensemble assembles, I want you to grab your hymn note, turn to 140, and you'll be singing with us. The congregation has a part coming in on the third verse. So, and for you music lovers and people who want to sing who can't read music, this is how we practice. We are going to be playing a track that has voices on it. So this is how we learn our parts. So when I play the track with no voices on it, we can sing along with it. So enjoy. I will be prompting you when the time comes, but you're more than welcome to sing through the whole hymn. So are you ready, Bo?
A little bit hot.
Changes.
have all earned your donut.
That was beautiful indeed. Amen, amen, amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, ensemble. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for whoever wrote that. We need to pay attention. They did a fine job, fine job. Singing Methodists, we used to be called. Does anybody remember us being called that? Okay, well, that's what I'm told. I don't know. By way of prayers, on the back of the page, you see some of the concerns before us. We've had a tragic, two tragic airplane incidents this week. Those of you who might be hesitant to fly because of that, keep in mind that it is so much safer to fly than it is to even drive. So those events, when they occur, do make the headlines and capture our attention, but we lift our prayers for those who are tragically lost, and we lift our prayers for the responders who have done their best to help. On the back of the bulletin, you see the prayers that we've been lifting. The fires in California have been fully contained. Now begins the job of trying to recover, and we need to lift those families that are impacted and be aware of that. And I am told that there is heavy flooding in North Queensland, Australia. We don't always get to talk about our brothers and sisters down under, but they have had flooding before, they've had fires, and right now North Queensland is just getting just bombarded with rain. So prayers for them. Prayers for the lights. I think I've made some progress. I might have an in on why that's occurring. Prayers for me to continue to ferret that out. We'll continue to work on it. If it gets really bad again, Ellen is going to tell it, no, 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 or you're out. So we'll try and keep them working properly. Do you have other concerns or updates on those persons and things we have listed? Mike, if you would come down to Richard Schneer first, I think, had his hand up first.
Yes, I'm asking for prayers for Pastor Paul Hofer, who's, he's a very good friend of ours and is the pastor who married us, but he fell and broke his hip really bad. So they've patched it all together, and now he's in rehab for quite a while.
Okay. Tell me his name again.
Oh, Pastor Paul Hofer.
Pastor Paul. Okay, prayers for Pastor Paul. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, Ruella?
I have two prayer concerns. First one is for, may have noticed Larry is not here today. His knee is acting up again, so prayers for that. And the other prayer is for Pastor Carol from my previous church. Her husband, George, had a massive heart attack and was in the hospital for a couple weeks, but he died the other day. So prayers for that family and for them to find peace.
Okay, thank you for that, Ruella. Thank you. Samu, are you trying to get my attention or are you just stretching? Okay, all right. No, that's fine. Other concerns in our midst. We want to be aware of all of those. I want to lift the anxiety of families over current events, political and what have you. Just prayers for families, prayers for people, and prayers for us. others. Nothing else? All right. By way of celebration, I want to begin a celebration by welcoming Colleen back. You got a day off, which was a celebration for you, and we're grateful for that. But we love the work you do and your gifts and graces in our midst. So thank you, Colleen. Other good news that we want to share together this morning. Anybody going to talk about the fact that it's not freezing cold and ice outside? Amen, yeah. It may hit 60 here this week, which is kind of a startling thing. We are not in drought in Colorado. Let's not let it get too hot, too long, and continue on. Oh, I do have one other prayer of concern. Concerns for Stephanie Mitchell. Iverson, you might notice she'll try and stay awake. She's trying to stay awake through the service, and she's got bags under her eyes. She has a new puppy. Prayers for her. Other celebrations and other events that you want to lift this morning as we come and as we gather. On the birthday list, I show that Seldon Finocchi is having a birthday on the 5th. That was last week. This is the 9th. Mary Boyles has a birthday today. Is that true? Anybody verify that for us? Okay. She's probably off. They're probably off partying. Good for them. Jack Tracy has a birthday on Wednesday. L.J. Relford has a birthday on Wednesday. 11 years old? He can't be that old already. Is that true? Holy mackerel. James, warning, heads up. Alice has a birthday this coming Saturday. Did you remember? Okay. I have Irmadel Miller. Some of you know I do not, but Sunday, Irmadel. Any others? Is that true? Any others? Any other celebrations, special things we want to lift as we are about our family and our family gatherings? I don't see any others. If not, let's join together. You see the unison prayer? Let us read responsively. To God who welcomes all in love, let us pray for the good of the church and the concerns of those in need. God of every land and nation, you have created all people, and you dwell among us in Jesus Christ. Listen to the cries of those who pray to you, and grant that as we proclaim the greatness of your name, all people will know the power of love at work in the world. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, we ask your presence with us today as we come before you. We lift our individual prayers. You hear them all. You know each thought of our heart, and you are present with us. Help us celebrate the good gifts that we receive, and help us lean on you for those times when we struggle, when we hurt, and when we fall down. As we come and gather, there are many thoughts on our hearts, thoughts about not only ourselves, but our nation and our world and politics and countries and drum rattling and thoughts of conflict. And may there be places for doves to land, doves of peace. Lord, be with us, be with families, be with this church family, but be with all families. Be with all brothers and sisters around the world, be with all of your children, be with us as we come and gather, and we pray and we prepare to feast at your table. Be with us, Lord, that we are ever mindful of your directions to us and the still small voice that speaks to us, and the need for us to pause and to listen to that still small voice. of the need to block out the din of politicians and news and anger and ire and the noise of the online media. Help us, Lord, to pause and turn to you in prayer and listen with patience. You are ever with us, Lord, if we will but turn and listen and follow, and we give you thanks for that. Guide us and prosper us as is your way in the gift through Jesus Christ. And guide us that we might be your people, people of justice, of love, of care, of righteousness, of faith. Lord, be with us. Be with us and guide us. And as you join with us, hear us as we lift our voices in prayer with the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your presence in worship, for your prayers, for your work in Jesus Christ, for your support of the church through its different ministries, to our care through our mission work, our care through our giving to the church, that it continue to be a place that we can gather to organize ourselves to serve Christ. I ask Colleen if you might give us an offertory.
If you'll join me in the scripture, John 13, 33 through 35, found in the Pew Bible on page 102, and please stand if you're able. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Word of the Lord. Thank you. You want to come? All kids come forward for the.
Join Stephanie.
Join Stephanie, unfortunately.
God loves us so is the name of the video.
God loves us so is the name of the video. And if there anybody who wants to help Stephanie, I'm sure she'd appreciate it.
Good job. Good job. They did a great job, didn't they? Man, I'll tell you what. All of that moving around and jumping and stuff and it reminds me of being a kid. Like having a puppy, huh? Stephanie, I'll tell you what. How many of you know a whole lot about the book of Joshua? Yeah, okay. Not any hands went up that I saw. So I can tell you a lot about it that you might be true. Joshua is part of that bits of history. Toward the beginning, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then we got the 1 and 2 Samuel. And then we got Joshua, Judges, Ruth. So it's right there in the beginning. And Joshua is kind of tells us about what happened after the Exodus. You remember the Exodus? How many of you remember the Exodus? The Hebrews are all in Egypt, and they're captives there, and they're working as slaves for the Egyptians, and Moses comes and he leads them out, and they cross the Red Sea, and then they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Rumor is that that's because Moses refused to stop and ask for directions, but that may not be biblical. They wander 40 years in the wilderness, and they come to the promised land, and they're preparing to enter the promised land, and Joshua begins to tell about that entering. And they enter there, and the place isn't empty. There are other groups of peoples there. There are other communities, civilizations, and the temptation is to move in and to blend with the population there. There's a possibility you could do that. You could assimilate with them. But these people there, they have their own native gods, pagan gods, gods of this and the god of that. And the prophet Joshua comes before them, and he brings the word of God that says, and Pia, we should have that slide. If the serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice, you see. And it's interesting that Joshua puts it out there. God is just telling the people, you need to pick, you need to choose. It's an important question. We know there are temptations and there are things that distract us from being God's people. There are temptations to be about trying to get enough likes so that your video makes it on the YouTube. How many of you are worried about trending? We may not be, but we need to be aware of the number of people and the drive that's happening and that movement that's going on. People are doing life-threatening things just so that they'll get a video the people will watch. Wake them up. Help them understand there's more life than that. And there are a lot of temptations. There's a temptation to put other things before our gathering. I know some people that will work 7 days a week because they know that they need to get ahead. They need to make more money. They need to earn more things. And the temptation there is money, isn't it? And there are temptations of power, and there are temptations. There are a veritable plethora of temptations. But we need to choose. We need to choose. And in choosing Christ, we are choosing to follow the master teacher who washed the feet of his disciples. Don't get confused about Jesus and all the things he did. Focus on who he was and how he demonstrated who he was. He washed the feet of his disciples. This is not about power and arrogance. So there's Joshua, and he's asking us, he says, you need to choose. Who are you going to follow? Who are you gonna, and if you're going to do it with all of your energy, all your heart and a hope and soul and mind and energy, but he advocates following the Lord God. Now, you know, how many of you remember we were just in Advent? That's the Christmas season. We were just in Advent recently. Do some of you remember that? I got my bill for my credit card, and I remembered graphically that we just had a very good Christmas. I thought, why is my bank account practically empty? And I thought, oh, yeah, it was December, wasn't it? Any of you all have that same sort of thing happen? It's okay, I don't worship that money. And I worship the ability to love those others and give them and help others where I can. But we had four candles. Do you remember we had the Advent wreath and we had four candles? And there's an ongoing discussion. Every year we discuss what are the four candles going to be in, what order are they going to be in. And there seems that there's some people that are pretty well tied to a tradition of one order of things. And there's some people that pick these totally different ones. I was an associate in my first appointment, the senior pastor, and she picked four things that I had never heard of before for the Advent candles. And it helped me graphically realize that those are our inventions, the candles are, and what we might want to do with them and how we might want to emphasize the Advent season of preparation. But this year, we did the first candle. We did faith and hope kind of together. And then we did joy, and that threw everything out of whack because joy is usually the third candle, but we did joy and then peace in the third candle. And then love is the fourth candle. So if you were thinking about all of those and you're thinking about those major themes that were our Advent themes, which do you think was the most important one? Now think about that a minute. I mean, think about faith, how important that is. And hope. I have met people without hope. Have you? There have been times in my life when I began to wonder if I had any hope left. And yet my faith hung in there when my hope seemed to be fading. And that faith got me through. What would I do without faith? How would I be here? Have any of you experienced any of those travails? Hope. And hope is also for the hope that we have, not only that Christ will come and guide us and carry us and help us, and that we'll make it through whatever struggles we are enduring, but hope is also for the coming of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, we have something to do with that. We can't just sit around on our laurels. We have to be participating in that work toward hope. And joy, what would life be without joy? Think about that a minute. If there's no joy in your life, and I think I've met a few people that are curmudgeons that don't think there's anything joyous left in life. But you know, I think they enjoy being curmudgeons. So that's an interesting sort of dynamic. We're not going to go down that road very far, but joy, and I'm not talking about the joy of, you know, partying and carrying on and all the temptations that we worry about in life. Hedonism, and there's a possibility of people saying, you just got to live life to the ripest and the fullest and go 900 miles an hour everywhere you're going and doing everything. And that's not necessarily the joy I'm talking about at all. Modern society tempts us in that direction. I saw a commercial again for a car the other day. You have worked hard. You deserve this car. And I just had to lower my head. And you know, the worst part is, it seems to work. There are people who are saying, I have. Boy, I deserve that. I need that joy in my life. And then you get the joy, and somehow, within a couple of weeks, maybe a month, it's another car with car payments and this, that, the other, and the ding in the door and what have you. So joy, we won't go down that path any further than that. For me, one of the important candles is peace. But peace, and I've talked about this ad nauseum, and it isn't just keeping the peace, enforcing the peace. It's about justice and about being at a place where we are at ease one with the other. I have sat in with families, and they're gathered together, and everybody's being polite, but there is no peace going on in the room whatsoever. And that's not peace, that's endurance or something else. But peace and justice. I've managed to visit 3 third world countries so far in my life. And the one thing that it taught me and continues to teach me is how very prosperous we are and how very poor some other countries are. And to be an advocate for justice, for care for those others. Can it ever happen? I have hope. How many of you, when you heard that scripture this morning, how many of you, that was the first time you'd ever heard that passage in 1 Corinthians that Diana read? We've all heard it before then. And it is many things. Hold on. I'd like to tell you that it's allergies because the plants are blooming, but I don't think that's why my nose is running. 1 Corinthians 13 is most often read at weddings. Have you noticed that? Love is kind and romantic and beautiful, and it's it's always lovely to see a couple getting married. I've had a couple of weddings that I've done that the bride and the groom could hardly talk to each other. The wedding and the preparation and everything going on had been so intense that it was a near thing. But in most cases, it's pretty wonderful, pretty joyous, and pretty loving. Paul's writing this letter to the people in Corinth. It's an argument that we have 2 letters in our New Testament, 2 epistles we call them, and Paul wrote many more letters than that, but some of them got just kind of combined together because they fit together nicely. But it makes me wonder what was going on in Corinth, because he's trying to tell them what love is and is not and help them get straightened out. He says it's not a noisy gong or clashing cymbals or loudness. I've met a few gongs. Have you met a few gongs in your life? Noisy gongs. It's not prophecy or prophets, and it's not knowledge. Now, knowledge has to be taken in the context of that time, and knowledge had to do with scribes and Pharisees and their interpretation and teaching the people of how the Bible is supposed to be teaching them. And all of that will come to an end. And Paul says you can have all the faith you want. You can have enough faith to move mountains. There are times when I wish that. There are times when I wish I could just say, I'm so sure and I believe so strongly that this is going to happen, and it will. Fortunately for me, God says, no, what you need and what you want are not the same thing. People of possessions and property and poverty and all of that. So he's talking about all of the religious people in the world, all of the attributes of all the people. And he's talking about all of these different varieties. And I kind of wonder about that church in Corinth. They might have had some conflicts going on. He's trying to speak to them. And so he says, love is patient. How many of you have patience? Not just the patience that goes with, I'm going to put up with this no matter what. Begrudgingly, with gritted teeth, I'm not going to say anything, though it's driving me nuts. I'll keep the peace. Peace is that other thing that's from within us that really is peace. And love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, and it's not irritable. I don't know if they do that, but I'm going to have that tattooed on the inside of my eyelids. Love is not irritable. I'm working on that one. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. And love does not keep a record of wrongs. I just love that. The common phrase in this age is keeping stamps. Some couples, they get into a situation where they're keeping the peace, they don't say anything, but they keep stamps. They keep track of all the things that have irritated them. So they're saving stamps and they keep them. And then when you get into a fight, you've got ammunition. Love does not keep track of wrongs. That's hard to do. Let them go. Forgive. Remember, we said that this morning sometime in the service. I will forgive those trespasses against me. We got to do that. We got to live there, and that's a journey. At least for me, it's not a destination, but it's a journey. And there's a bit of love that comes in there that has to do with this business of wrongings, and that is keeping track of past injustices and past wrongs, not only that have been done to us, but places where we've screwed up, letting them go, giving them to God, and accept the fact that we are people with feet of clay. We have erred, and God will forgive us when we come and ask for forgiveness. So here is Paul talking about love, and it's not just that love of weddings and the attraction and the beauty and all of the things that go with that, and that society is talking about love and romance and the concept that you could fall out of love. But Christ's love is to love. It's a decision. That's what Joshua was talking about in that passage that we just read. You can choose the God you want to worship, and you're going to have to live with that choice. You can go where you want, do however you want, and be all of that. But I'm going to choose. He says, you need to choose. We need to choose. And so here is love as well. And you need to decide. I am going to love that other. I'm going to make that decision. That's the way it's going to be. Regardless of their place, their reactions, and how they are. So love, faith, hope, love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. Pastor Neo's up here. He's itching to get us started. We're ready to serve you some from Christ's table. Are you ready for that? All right. Turn with us, if you will, in your hymnals to page 13 or on the screen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As we prepare to receive the elements, I ask helpers to come forward. Okay. celebration, we give thanks to be able to gather at Christ's table. He calls us, he welcomes us, he invites us, and he sends us to decide to go and to love. Amen? Stand if you will. Diana's going to lead us in our closing hymn. Well, it's early for Valentine's Day, but it's never early for love. And God is teaching us that every minute of every day. Listen, in the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and make your decision to follow the Lord and to love one another. Amen?
Amen.
Join your hands, if you will. Let us sing our closing. People said, amen. Amen.